You are listening to Bridging the Social Distance. My name is Jenny Mitchell, and I recorded this show here at CFRU, Guelph's campus and community radio station, as a means of creating a platform for us to share ideas and feelings and perspectives in the wake of this global pandemic that is COVID-19. I was afraid that people would get isolated or I would lose the opportunity to chat with my community and find out how everyone is doing, so I made this show. If you're listening and you would like to get involved or be interviewed, you can contact me at mobile@cfru.ca. I'd like to provide the disclaimer that these interviews were recorded at different points in time, so situations in some of these locations may have changed. This show is also being syndicated for CIOI in Hamilton, Ontario. Today I'm speaking with Yvonne Boyles, a resident over at the Village of Riverside Glen Retirement Residence. This interview was originally recorded on July 22nd, 2020.
Well, I guess to start with, can you introduce yourself for listeners?
I'm Yvonne Boyles, and I live at Riverside Glen. I've been here for 3 months now, going on 4 months.
So you're another one of the residents who moved during the pandemic, I guess.
Yes.
Do you want to tell me about that? That sounds like a really intense situation.
I just moved in 3 months ago, so I don't really know too much about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't hear too much. You can't really visit anybody because you don't want to carry anything. Most of the time, I just sit out on my patio and read my books.
You have a patio there, though?
Yes. I'm on the right side that they have the patio, so I can go out on my own patio and read my books or just sit there looking at my flowers. That my daughter planted flowers around the tree, and I have some on a stand out there. So I enjoy just going out there and reading my books and being nice and quiet. It's so peaceful here. You never hear any noise or anything. I'm right there by the pond. Oh. So I can, well, when it's nice days, I can walk over, sit on the bench and watch the fish, the goldfish in there blopping around and that. So, but lately we've not allowed to go off our patio because of this virus thing. I wish that was over with. I miss my kids coming to visit me, but they phone me all the time. So not so much my youngest daughter. She's in Kelowna, BC. Mm. She called me on the weekend. Her and her friend was sailing and all that stuff. I don't know how she got into all that, because my husband and I, we never did anything like that. We went camping, but other than that, sailing, boating and all that, no. I like the water, but I like swimming in it. I don't like boating in it. Not, other than that, everything's, I enjoy living here and that. So, yeah, it's a really nice, friendly people.
Mm-hmm.
Be nice when we can go down to play bingo and stuff like that. They have bingo, but they're only taking a few people in because of this virus. Other than that, I don't bother going until after this virus is over with. I just come back and watch TV and play with my cat and just read. I've never read so many books in all my life as I've read here. I never read a book until I moved in here.
That's amazing. Did you bring books with you?
No, my daughter gave me some, but I have to give them back. It's on a borrow. We do have a library. We did have a library where I lived, but I didn't bother going down too much. That's but anyways, I enjoy living here. People are nice and all that. Yeah, so.
Where did you move from just before you got here?
Just up the road across from the Canadian Tire.
Okay.
Apartment in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's not so far.
No, that's just up the road. My daughter says, Mother, you're not going moving very far. I said, well, that's all right. I'm moving where I want to be, you know. So anyways, I enjoy living here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are the biggest differences between where you were living before and where you are now?
Well, there's not that much difference, really. I was on the fifth floor at the front, so I could see Canadian Tire and everybody coming and going and that. I liked it there, but my daughter says, oh, Mother, I think you need to go someplace where you can don't have to cook and clean. Well, my granddaughter came over every 2 weeks to do my cleaning.
Oh.
And that, but other than that, I did there for a while, ordered my meals from, Meals on Wheels?
Mm-hmm.
And that, but they were expensive. And that, but they were good, mind you, but they run you into a lot of money, so you might as well pay the rent here and get all your meals.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, right.
How long were you living at that previous building?
20 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes. Yes, I knew a lot of people and they're still there. The people. Yeah.
I love that move, though. When people move from that building or the buildings around it to Riverside Glen, they get to keep a lot of the friends. Like, that's a really nice thing. I mean, right now it's challenging when you can't leave, but in general, it's nice to be in the neighborhood, right?
Yeah, right. Like, if it was nice weather and that, and we could go and visit, then I would probably go and visit some of the people out there because they have a pool. So I could have go up there and use the pool.
Yeah.
But I doubted if the city opened it this year.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not with this virus. They wouldn't want a lot of people to be around each other. So I doubted if it even opened this year because of the virus. They wouldn't open it, I don't think. But I would have went up there. One couple, they do volunteer in here when the virus is not in here. You know, they come and they volunteer here. So I do see a couple from the and I still own the condo there. My grandson is supposed to be selling it, but they had to do a lot of work in it.
Mm.
They had to redo it. And my daughter out west, she says, Mother, don't go and see it because she says you'll want it. They put it on the internet and she says, you might want to go back and live there again if you saw it. Because she said they just ripped everything out. Oh, I says, no, I'm happy here. I enjoy this place and the people that live here. When we can get around, go out and visit people, we can see and talk to people. But right now, we're all stuck to our room. Our food comes in and that, and the girl comes in and cleans and that. But yeah, I really enjoy here. Yeah.
So you had spent some time probably visiting Riverside Glen before moving in? Like, do you have friends here that moved from your building?
There was, well, at the time when I come to to get my name in here. I didn't know anybody here. Oh. And when we were all sitting at the table, and at that, when I first moved in here, we could have four at a table. Now we only have ourselves. Yeah. And I happened to be sitting with two people that lived in the building where oh. I came from. And then the one lady in the next, on the next table, she lived there too. So there was three people already that I knew in here, and two of them I sat with at the table. And the one lady, she's down two doors down from me now. And the other one's on the other side.
But oh, that's so close.
Yeah.
These are friendships in waiting.
Right. Yeah. So I was really surprised when I sat down for my first meal and saw three people that I knew from the building. They said, oh, Yvonne, you came to visit. To see you, to live with us.
Aww.
It was really nice. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
But now we're all separated. We're all in our own rooms and have to get our meals in. And so we don't see anybody now until this virus is finished.
Yeah.
And I'll be glad to get back.
Yeah.
To sitting and seeing people that I know. But I guess everybody would be the same way, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely something we're all going through. And I mean, yeah. It's different for different people's circumstances, but it's challenging.
Well, at least I can go outside and sit mm-hmm. on my own patio. It's got a roof over the top, so I could sit out there and enjoy the weather when it's nice. But today, it's kind of wet out there.
Yeah. So the plants like it today, but
yeah, right. Yeah. With the rain and that, I think it seems started raining again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can I ask you, where did you grow up?
In Guelph.
Oh, yeah?
Always lived in Guelph. Huh. Yeah.
That's like me.
Yeah. I lived on Liverpool Street.
Yeah, okay.
Off and... not very far from the collegiate.
Yeah, that's where I went to high school.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was always a Guelph girl, so I never moved out. I don't think I would ever move away from Guelph. I always liked Guelph and the people and that, and went to school here and all. So, yeah, so I...
What schools did you go to?
I went to St. Stanislaus, St. Okay. Agnes, and St. Stanislaus Catholic School.
Yeah. I grew up right across the road from St. Stan's. I was on Dublin in Northumberland, so
yes,
it was right there.
Yeah.
I always played in the trees there because I went to Central, which was right next to it, right? So
right. Yeah. Yeah, brought the kids up on Dublin Street, between Dublin and Liverpool and Oxford.
Okay.
On Dublin, right?
Yeah.
Kitty corner from the church there.
Yeah, just a few blocks there. From where I grew up.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably saw you sometime or other.
Probably, yeah. Thinking about it, I bet I probably went trick-or-treating in your neighborhood when I was a kid.
Probably knocked at my door.
Yeah. I had some friends that lived on Liverpool too, because all the kids that went to Central and then Willow and then GCBI, right. We all grew up in that neighborhood. Yeah. So Oxford and Liverpool and Suffolk and London. Right. Yeah. It's pretty neat.
Yeah. So it was a nice neighborhood. Kids liked it and all that.
Yeah. What were some of the things that you got up to as a kid in Guelph?
I didn't do too much. I mostly liked to help people out and doing their shoveling in the wintertime and that, and grass cutting and all that. I did all that when I was a kid. Just to make some money, you know? So, but yeah.
Yeah. What were some of the things kids did for fun back in that time in Guelph?
Oh, golly. Gee.
Well, I'm putting you on the spot. Someone actually asked me what I used to do when I was a kid, and I couldn't think of anything to say. So,
mostly did ice skating over at the collegiate all the time. Okay. I always went over there and did skating and that, and bogging and all that. But most of the time, when I was a teenager, I did a lot of babysitting with the neighborhood. My dad always said, if you want to get ahead in this world, and you want to, he always taught us, if you want something, you go out and you work for it. And my dad always said, I always wanted a pair of ice skates. And he said, Yvonne, you go out and babysit and pay for half the ice skates, and I'll pay the other, and you can have them. So that's what I always did. Every Saturday night I babysat, and I made the money to buy whatever I needed or wanted. Paid half of it. My dad always said, you pay, work and pay half of it, and I'll pay the other. That way we learned that you don't get everything free in this world.
Yeah.
You have to work for it. So that's what I did when I was a teenager. I babysat every Saturday night. Yeah.
How much did babysitting pay back then?
Back then, you may get $2, but now it's $2 a minute. It's expensive now, but back then, when you're a teenager, $2 is a lot of money in those days, you know. So my dad always said, you work for half of it and I'll pay the other half and you can have them. So we learned really good that you can't get everything free in the world.
Did you have siblings?
Yes, I have. I had two sisters and a brother. And my oldest sister, she's got Alzheimer's, so she doesn't know anybody. And my brother, he lives in Trenton.
Oh, okay.
When he comes to Guelph, then I see him. But other than that, no. And my youngest sister, she died. She wasn't a healthy person.
Were you the only one that stayed in Guelph?
Yes. My oldest sister lives in Hamilton, but she apparently doesn't know anybody anymore. She's in a nursing home. Mm-hmm. And my brother, he's in Trenton. Odd time comes. His daughter just lives up the street from here.
Oh.
So he said the next time he comes to Guelph, then he'll come and see me. Other than that, he's there in Trenton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you have a few kids. You were married.
Yeah.
Was that somebody from Guelph as well?
Yes. Yeah. But he was a schizophrenic and he took his life in 2002. Yeah. Yeah. He was not a well man. He was in and out of the psychiatric hospitals all the time. And that I had to go on welfare because I wasn't working at the time when the kids were little. And I had to go on welfare, and they paid my train with the three kids down to London Psychiatric Hospital to see their dad and their and my husband. So the city paid for my trip down there, because, you know, the kids wanted to see their dad, and I couldn't afford. But I had good neighbors. One neighbor, two doors down, every month, she would put an envelope in my doorway on Dublin Street there, when I was there with the kids, with money in the envelope. But I never knew for years that it was her that did put the money in the envelope and gave it to me to help me with the children. I was so
wonderful.
Blessed. Yeah. Wow. But I didn't really know for a long time who it was, because she would just put the money in an envelope and slip it into my door in the mailbox. But then I found out who it was. But she thought, well, I better help out somebody. And that, yeah, it was really nice of her to do it, but she never ever said who she was until she died, and I found out from her daughter that it was her that
oh my gosh,
sent the money. Of course, I couldn't thank her, because I didn't know it was really her until after she died. But it was nice.
Yeah.
Funny.
I'm sure she saw your family growing up and felt,
oh, yes,
you know, she would have felt thanked in getting to see herself be a part of that, you know?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. She always saw the kids out there playing and that, so at least she knew who they were.
Yeah. I was on welfare for a time when my kids were really little, and it makes such a difference when you have support, when you have people around you that care about you and are rooting for you. It makes all the difference, you know?
Well, can't just get up in the Chesterfield to look to see what's going on. She was my cat belonged to my sister-in-law and brother-in-law. And we were all at the funeral, and we're sitting there, and their son said, Auntie Vaughn, do you know anybody that would want a cat? She says, we have a cat that we have to take to the Humane Society and put her down. So I phoned the Humane Society. That was a year ago, and I said to them, if somebody brought you a 10-year-old cat in, would you put her down? And they said, no, we would give her a home. Mm-hmm. And so I said, okay, thank you very much. And I phoned my nephew, and I said, you can drop the cat off at my place. And she's been here. She's been with me ever since.
Uh-huh.
I guess my sister-in-law and brother-in-law are probably looking down from heaven saying, oh, she's Yvonne still got the cat.
That's but wonderful.
She's not been too well. She's got two things on her chest, raw sores, but she keeps them clean and that. And she was at the vet, they told me it was cancer, but it's not got any worse. So I thought, I'm just going to let her be. And some morning when I wake up, she may not even be, she may be laying there dead. But I thought, I'm just going to keep her until the time comes that she has to be put down. So she's been pretty good. Yeah.
That's so awesome that you can have a pet there.
I've always had a cat, so yeah. So I had to put the other cat that I had, I had to put her down, because she had Crohn's disease. But this one, I'm just gonna let her be. She's 11 years old, so she's not gonna live forever. So, well, she's been a good cat. So.
You're listening to Bridging the Social Distance, a show recorded here in Guelph at CFRU as a platform for sharing stories and perspectives during the global pandemic of COVID-19. This show is also being syndicated for CIOI in Hamilton, Ontario. Today I'm speaking with Yvonne Boyles, a resident over at the Village of Riverside Glen Retirement Residence.
Does the cat's life change much during the pandemic, or did it mostly stay in the room anyway?
It just stays in here. It doesn't go outside. She's never been outdoors, and she was never outdoors when she was at my apartment. She was out once, but she was so scared. I got her in, and I could have leave the door wide open, and she'd never go through it. Same here. I don't think she would go through the door out in the hallway. She's been to the door, but she doesn't. Tempted to go out in the back door, she won't go outside.
Yeah,
so I'm safe.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about chasing her all over.
Yeah, that's the opposite. My cat is trying to get out all the time. No, she's the opposite. Every time you go to the door, she chases out and tries to get out between your legs, so it's a challenge.
Yeah, other than that, everything's fine, and I'm enjoying living here and that, so yeah, no problem.
So how many children did you say you had?
I have three. Two girls and a boy.
And how old are they? I'm wondering if I would have known them, like, from the neighborhood.
Sandra, she's 51. And Sharon's the youngest. She's 5 years younger than her sister. She was born on her sister's fifth birthday. I phoned her from the hospital and I said, "Happy birthday, Sandra. You just got your lifetime present." And she said, "What? You got a little sister?" "Oh," she says. And Frank, he's 51, so he's my oldest, the boy. So I just had the one boy.
Okay.
Her parents live in here. Her father lives kitty corner from me, and her mother is in long term.
Okay, his wife's parents.
Yeah, his wife. Yeah, she's. Up on the top floor.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when they can come visit, they can come together, I guess. And
well, she's got dementia, so they don't bring her down anytime. Yeah. So. Yeah, he's just lives across from me.
Okay.
So. Yeah.
Are you in the down, like the retirement part of the building? Like, I guess it's all retirement, but like the main.
Yeah, part? I'm on the main floor.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I took one that I could go outside.
Yeah.
The patio in the back. My daughter-in-law's father is on the other side, and they don't have. They have to come out to go outside. But me, I can go outside here. Yeah. Yeah. So other than that, I'm enjoying my life here.
Yeah. So growing up, did your kids go to the same schools that you went to?
They went to what is that? Just up the street there.
Central.
Central, yeah.
Okay, that's the same school I went to, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, your youngest daughter wouldn't have been, like, too much older than me, I don't think. Like, she would have been a teenager when I was a kid, I think, because I'm 35. Yeah. So she's in her late 40s, you were saying?
Yeah. She's She's 5 years younger than my oldest daughter. Yeah, she was born 5 years after, mm-hmm. you know, so, yeah.
Frank it was a good place to grow up.
Yes, it was, yeah. Yeah, we were kitty corner from the church. What is it, Dublin Street Church?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful neighborhood.
On Suffolk, across from the church, there was a school there. And my son went there and Sandra went there for kindergarten. And then they closed that school. And that's when Central opened.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that there was a school over there.
Yeah. It's a business place now. The building's still there, but it's not a school anymore. It's a business, offices in there. Yeah.
Do you remember anything else that used to be in Guelph when you were a kid that isn't there anymore?
No, I don't think so. No. Offhand, no.
Like downtown must have looked a little different, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I always took the kids to the library down there. Mm-hmm. And I walked down, of course, Dublin Street wasn't far from the library. Oh. So always went down there. And what was it? There was a restaurant called Red Barn. I used to take the kids always down there for their treat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was already gone when I was a kid, I think. But
yeah.
My older friends talk about Red Barn and they really liked it.
Yeah. Yeah, always walk down there with the kids. That and to the library.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about, was Quebec Street a street back then?
Yeah, Quebec Street was there, yeah.
But you know, the second part where the Eaton Center got built, was it, when you were young, was that a street still before the...
Yeah. Yes, you could go straight through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then like they that. Built that. It I was beautiful before that.
Yeah, I don't know if they even have anything in there anymore.
Sort of, but not like like when I was a kid, the Eaton Center was pretty thriving. Like there was still a lot of stuff in there, and but yeah,
dollar store, and that's about it down there.
Yeah, there's like three or four. I don't know, maybe a few more, but yeah, there's a really great comic book store. But not much else.
Other than that, no. Everything changes.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's for the good and sometimes it's not, you know. But
well, can I ask when you were born? I'm just curious what era of Guelph you grew up in. Like the 40s? 1940s?
Yeah. I was born in 38.
38, okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, always lived on Liverpool Street.
Yeah.
Went to school, to the Catholic school up there beside the Church of Our Lady.
Yeah.
Went to that school. That's, I didn't go to high school because, well, I was not a very... like school to me was like going to jail. I hated it, absolutely hated it. So my dad always said, you know, when I was 16, he said, you can quit school, but you have to get a job.
Yeah.
So I worked babysitting all the time, every weekend, and 2, 3, 4 houses down from us on Liverpool, a couple owned a restaurant out towards Hesper.
Okay.
And I worked in there a lot. And that's
what was the restaurant?
I can't think of what it was. I know they owned that just going out towards Hesper. I can't remember what the name of the restaurant was, but I worked there. And I did cutting grass, doing snow, anything I could get my money. I went and I babysat. I always babysat the whole neighborhood pretty well. That's yeah. Other than that,
when did you meet your husband?
I met my husband. Oh, let me see. I think. Forget now where I met him. I'm pretty sure I met him in Guelph. We were at a dance in Elora, I think it was. And that's where I met him because he was lived at that area.
Okay.
That's so, yeah. So we were married for 38 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a nice long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and then he got sick, and then the dear Lord took him back home. Yeah.
How old were you when you met?
I think probably around 18, likely,
okay,
in that area. Yeah. Yeah. We started going out together, and then I met all his family, and then we decided we're going to get married. We got married in Elora.
Oh.
Yeah.
I love it there.
United Church in Elora. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Because my family were Catholics, and of course, and back then, you don't leave the church, you know.
Yeah.
You get thrown out on your ear. So my family, I had one aunt at my wedding. My family wouldn't go because I went from Catholic to Protestant. And my family, I only had my mother's sister at the, my father wouldn't allow anybody to go to the wedding.
I'm sorry.
It was sad, but anyways, but that's the way things were back then. You don't leave your religion, you know. Mm-hmm. But my husband didn't want to change into a Catholic and that, so I just left and went and lived in Elora. Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds really hard. That's something I'm very glad doesn't really happen as much anymore. People learn it's not as extreme as that in most cases.
No. So other than that, I think that's my life.
Well, after you got married and were living in Elora, when did you move back to Guelph?
Well, I thought, the kids start, I got pregnant and that, and then we thought, we'll just move back to Guelph because his family moved to Guelph in that area. So we thought, we'll just go back to Guelph. So, yeah. So anyways.
So you've been in Guelph almost the whole time.
Yes.
Just a few years in Elora.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Guelph is my home, and that's where I'm going to be now on. Too old to move.
Well, I love Guelph history, and yeah. I spend a lot of time looking at, like, how Guelph used to look, and
yeah,
I have a lot of postcards from the 1920s. And yeah. when there was a streetcar and Quebec Street was still a street, and yeah. there was the crown. Right. The crown yeah. in the middle of downtown oh, looked amazing.
Right. Yeah. yeah.
But I don't always know like when things changed. Like yeah. I don't know when I do you know when the mall was built, like when they closed yeah, that street?
It's a long time ago. My kids were just little.
Yeah. And your kids are like 15 to 20 years older than me, I think. So
yeah, my son's 52.
Yeah.
And my daughter's 51.
That's right.
Sharon's 4 years, 5 years difference.
Yeah.
She's turned 50.
Yeah, yeah. So they're all about like 15 yeah. years older than me. So yeah.
She's out in Kelowna, BC.
I like it there.
Yeah, she went out there to live. She got a job and with the town and that. So she's a civil engineer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My neighbor's a civil engineer. My brother went to school for civil engineering, actually.
Yeah.
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 When you were a kid, was the crown still there in downtown Guelph?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And was yeah. the was there still like the big clock on the building, like the old bank building?
Yeah, there was a clock there, and I'm pretty sure it's still there.
Well, it might be gone now, but the at some point they tore that building down, the original one, and put up a newer modern one.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's the bank there on the yeah. corner on that spot now.
It just yeah. that the, it was so beautiful there before all that. Like there's some wonderful photographs of the original buildings and
yeah, that's right. But now it's blah.
Yeah, it's not too special.
Nothing downtown. Nothing. You can't even go shopping downtown because the only thing there is a dollar store in. The old Eaton Center there, that's about it.
Yeah.
Other than that, there's a bank, and then there's the post office. That's about it.
They built the, the hockey arena. And so that, yeah. at least, people, go watch sports games there, I guess. So that's yeah, something.
Right. But... I presume they still have. Hockey there. I don't know why.
Yeah, not during the pandemic, I don't think, but yeah, up no. until recently.
Yeah, but I'm not a hockey person. I'm not.
No, me neither.
Person.
What about, was Goldie Mill still around when you were a kid?
Who's that?
Goldie Mill, you know the mill? There was like a mill that burnt down, and I don't know when that happened, but...
That's a long time ago.
Was it?
No, I don't think it's there, no.
No, it's not there, but I didn't know if it was when you were a kid.
Yeah, I think so. Probably was, but when you're a kid, you don't go really down looking at those things.
I suppose not, eh?
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, I wouldn't want to be outside today. It's just pouring out there.
You know, it was pouring here. I live across town from you, like maybe a 10-minute yeah. drive, and it was yeah. pouring a few minutes ago, and now the sun's starting to come out.
Well, it's pouring here.
Yeah, maybe it's moving across. Maybe you'll see the sun in a few minutes.
Maybe. But anyways, we do need the rain.
Our flowers like the rain, yeah. Like
right.
It's been hot and dry. That's nice yeah. to have a little bit of rain.
Yeah, right.
And on a rainy day, you don't feel as bad about being indoors, right?
No, you just either read or have a sleep. Usually I end up in the afternoon having my nap.
Yeah. But, yeah, am I interrupting your nap time right now?
No, usually I'm awake by now.
Oh, okay.
Usually have my lunch and then I have a little nap for an hour and then I get up and I read or watch the TV and that, but not too much on in the afternoons.
Yeah.
And that, so I just sit and read.
What are you looking forward to the most when things go back to a sort of more normal way?
Here, you know, in the building here?
Yeah, where you are now.
Usually I go down and play bingo on Monday nights and that, and or I just go out and walk around or sit outside and read my book or go down and see the little fish that are swimming around down there in the pond. That's about all I do. Yeah.
Is there something you're looking forward to, though, that you'll be able to do when they aren't as restricted?
I like playing bingo on Monday nights, but they've been having bingo, but they only take maybe 5 or 6 people in, you know, and if you don't get there right after supper, then you're left out. So I thought, well, when we're all able to come and go down there and have a whole room full of people, then I'll start going back to play bingo. Other than that, I just read my books or walk outside when we're able to go out. But other than that, that's about it.
Is there anything that you've seen happening during this time that has been really, like, nice?
There hasn't been that much going on here, you know. They don't do anything because of the virus. They don't want groups of people together, you know. So, mm-hmm. And we have to have our meals in the room now, so you can't really go out and see anybody. I asked if I could go down and do my laundry yesterday, and the girl said, yes, as long as you do it in the morning. So I went down, I don't know, it was one of the workers. I went down to do the laundry, and the girl comes in and says, Yvonne, I think you better get back to your room. You're not supposed to be down here. I said, well, they told me I could go down and do my laundry. And they said, no, 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 you cannot do your laundry. So I left it there, and the girl at the desk, she did my laundry and brought it back to me. I said, well, they better get everybody on the same page.
Yeah.
Because one tells you one thing, and another one tells you another thing, and really, you don't really know what you're doing, you know. So now I know I can't go down and do laundry.
Oh, that sounds so challenging. Everyone trying to figure out what's the best thing to be doing.
That's right. So I thought, no, my daughter says, Mom, she says, I can come and pick up your laundry. You just have to put it down by the door. And she says, I'll come and get it and do your laundry and then bring it back, mm-hmm. she said. So probably the next time I do my laundry, I'll let her come and get it. It'll be just as good for me to do that than phone up and say I needed my laundry done. Underwear and stuff, not, I wash by hand myself.
Sure.
And I have a rack that I put it on. And so that I can do myself. And that, so, and you're not, it's not that you're going to get dirty here, because you don't. You can wear a t-shirt for a few days.
Yeah. Yeah, that, I know what you mean. Yeah.
You don't have to wash every day. So that's what I'm going to do instead of getting them to do it.
Yeah.
That's, I only wash once a week anyways. And if I need underwear and that, I can wash them out at night before. And I have a rack. I put them up in the bathroom and they're dry overnight. So it's not that.
It sounds like you kind of got it figured out. It's probably not ideal, but it does sound like you've got a pretty good system going.
Yeah.
You're taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
But you're feeling okay, like, and supported too. I mean, it's wonderful that you have family nearby. I feel like that's got to be very helpful at a time like this.
Right. Sure is. My daughter phones me every day. Yeah.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Not the one out west because that costs money.
Yeah.
She wanted to come home for a holiday, but I don't know if she's going to be able to come home. Yeah. She wanted to come home this summer, but she said she'll wait to the fall and see what happens, because other than that, she can't. You know, they won't let her go on the plane anyway. So.
Mm-hmm.
So, but she calls.
That gives you something else to look forward to, I guess, though.
Yeah, right. So she says she hopes she'd be able to come home for Christmas. And then we'll all get together at Frank's, because he's out in Arco. He's got a big place in Arco. And lots of room.
So awesome.
We can all gather there for Christmas. So I'm hoping that Sandra and Sharon will be able to come home for Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like I should maybe let you go, but I'm really enjoying the image of you and your family gathering at Christmas. That seems like a really nice thing to look forward to, you know?
Yeah, that's right. We always get together at Christmas, right?
Yeah.
I imagine we will be, hopefully this year, be able to do that.
Yeah, I hope so. But
if this virus is still around, we won't be able to do that.
Yeah, we'll just have to see.
But then when it's over, we'll all get together and have a good time and have good meals.
Absolutely. Yeah.
At least you got a telephone.
Yeah. There's some bright spots, but yeah, it's a challenge.
Yeah. Yeah, other than that, I feel really safe here. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm going to let you go, but Yvonne, thank you so much for sharing with me today. It was really nice to get to meet you from within the quarantine. And hopefully when I get to come back into the physical building, I can come meet everybody in real life too.
Yeah, great. Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
So once again, that was Yvonne Boyles, a resident over at the Village of Riverside Glen Retirement Residence. That brings us to the end of this episode of Bridging the Social Distance, a show produced at CFRU in Guelph and syndicated for CIOI in Hamilton, Ontario, that aims to create a platform for us sharing what we are doing to get through this time together in the wake of COVID-19. To take us to the end of the hour, I'm going to play a track of music. This is a new track by Ein Sof off of her newest album, Abracadabra. Ein Sof is spelled E-I-Y-N and then S-O-F. And this song is called Power to the Peasant. Thank you for listening.
King's off with his pack of hunting specters. They're flying. He's a light projector. He's a specter for the kingdom. signals to his jester. Glitches as he hops towards the royal specter, who's now slamming.